Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Connecting Women in Insurance with me, your host Julie. If you've missed any of our previous episodes, please feel free to go back and take a watch or listen on your favorite podcast platform. I'm thrilled to have with me today Ms. Malaika Katke, co-owner of Limry Connects Recruiting and Consulting. Thank you so much, Malaika, for joining me today.
Well, I want to thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here with you. Like you said, my name is Malaika Katke. I'm really fortunate to currently be the co-owner of Limry Connects. I have a 30-plus year career ranging in a lot of different people-oriented coaching and leadership roles. I would say I'm in HR, but a lot of times I've been in roles that are kind of outside and inside of HR from a career perspective. But what makes me who I am is I'm a mom of two beautiful girls that are confident, wonderful, and amazing, and they also give me gray hair. Unfortunately, I was a mom of two dogs until last week. Unfortunately, my dogs passed last week. Thank you. I'm a huge pet owner, huge into whatever we can do for our furry friends. That's what really makes me. One thing I learned in life is to always have multiple outlets, not just career outlets, but other things that you do. And I tend to do a lot of extracurricular, I guess, activities or things beyond just being working and also being a mom and a wife. I also run a quilting league here. It's actually called Central Bucks Fiber Friends. We have over 60 women that participate in my group, and we do activities around anything fiber arts related. And myself, I happen to quilt, crochet, and cross stitch. I'm an avid reader. I was raised by a mother who had a master's degree in mathematics and was in education. And my father has his medical degree from Harvard Medical School and is a prominent doctor in the United States. And so my parents always pushed me to do a lot and get involved in a lot and do a lot of different things and to always learn new things. And so that's one of the reasons why I get involved in so many various activities. Also, as a parent, I'm part of the band board for my daughter, which
is fun.
Woo-woo! You know, let's talk about some good times. Never thought a marching band position would be more intensive than a board position with a corporation, but it
really
is. And it's a lot of work. I have been the mom of a dancer, so woo-woo, lose your life for 17 years. Just done all of that. So I try to do a lot of different things. I'm going through the stage now of my eldest just finished her first year of college at High Point University, and I could not be more proud.
Nice.
Of all the things that she's accomplished. And so I'm going through that. One has left the nest.
Right.
And one getting ready. So, you know, that's what makes me who I am and the things that I do. So there you go.
Well, that's really interesting. I don't know why I wouldn't have pegged you for a quilter, but I just wouldn't have. My mom taught me to quilt when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And she was a teacher for 40 years, and she taught fourth grade. And she would teach them to quilt, and then when needles were considered weapons, they switched to knitting.
Yeah.
And so the children who had issues sitting down, sitting still or whatever, it helped them calm. But their handwriting, she said that you couldn't read their handwriting when they came in, but afterwards you could, because that hand-eye coordination, it's a fantastic skill to have. For many reasons, I can't crochet for anything. I can't even crochet a straight line. It's sad. My girls are like, seriously? But no.
You know, not everything is for everyone, but I can promise you, if you ever want to come to one of our classes, they're really fun.
Oh, I would have fun. Like, I would enjoy it. It wouldn't look like anything, but I'd have fun.
Absolutely. I love that your mom was a teacher, too. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Being raised by teachers, I think it's a really cool thing.
It really is. It really is. She was pretty amazing. Yeah. She still is. I mean, you know. So what made you decide on a career in insurance? Did you start off thinking insurance, or were you going on a different path?
No, it's funny because I think everyone always says, I don't know how I got here. And I literally can tell you, I don't know how I got here. I would love to say I went to school, got a degree in insurance, blah, blah, blah. I had my life planned out. That's not how it worked. I went to school with the intention of being pre-med, pre-law. And I saw the cadaver and said no to pre-med. I did an internship with a judge and saw what the legal world looked like from that perspective and said, not for me.
Right.
I knew I never wanted to be a politician either. Immediately it just was like, none of these things work, but I was lucky enough that when I was young, around 16 years of age, I got my first like real big girl job, I guess you could say, working for a company called Adecco. It was actually Audi at the time. They merged with a company called Echo and became Adecco, which is the largest temporary staffing firm in the world now. And so, you know, by the time I was 18, I've been part of an international merger. I've done all these things. And so I started working for them from an HR perspective, doing talent and recruiting.
Nice.
So I started there. And I mentioned that because guess what? Now I'm at Limerick Connects as a co-owner. And I'm ending there, hopefully, through my retirement. So I've done a full circle moment. But I started doing some of that work and was lucky enough to graduate from college with, you know, pretty much like 6 years of experience. I continued working for Adecco, but my beautiful husband was in Minnesota. My job with Adecco was in Denver. He won.
Right. So good choice.
A good choice, yeah. And so I decided to move back to Minnesota, mainly because love my life was there, and my current and always will be partner. There's been many times in my life where I've had to make these kind of family versus job decisions. Mm-hmm. I've done 5 corporate moves in my career. But when I moved to Minnesota is really when I decided HR was going to be my thing, because I thought I was going to help people. HR is a different role. It's kind of hard. You don't get to help people the way you thought you could.
Right.
And so I had to learn that. I worked for a manufacturing company. I worked for GE. And then this little company named Hartford Insurance, this little itty bitty company. Hartford, as you know, is a big company, came knocking on my door, and I became one of their first HR people to be on all kind of like all sides of the fence. I did third party, I did workers' comp, I did all other lines, I did life, and I was kind of an HR person on all sides. And so, I really liked it. I loved Hartford. I loved working for the company. I think everybody there was, I met some really amazing people, including my current co-owner, Penelope Limmery, who you interviewed recently. Penelope and I actually met at Hartford, and I was on the HR side and she was on the management side. And usually I make a rule of not making, you know, it's harder to make relationships when you're in HR.
Right.
Penelope and I ended up planning each other's wedding, braiding each other's hair. And we've been friends ever since. So she can't leave me. I won't leave her. And that's how the world works. And so we are so lucky that whatever divine intervention put our paths together, because she's definitely helped me be a better person.
She's pretty amazing.
She is. She really is.
So when you were at Hartford, so you left Hartford, obviously. What happened then? Yes.
I left Hartford. I worked for Hartford. I worked for Hartford in Minnesota, Florida, and California. So those were 3 of my corporate moves. I was offered a really cool opportunity to kind of help lead a division of Protective Life Insurance. It was called Wessels Life at the time, and they had a number of labels that they sold under, and all of them have been consolidated now, and they're owned by somebody different. But at the time, I got an opportunity to go to them and really think about it. And I'll be honest with you, that's when it all started. And what I mean by all started is I began to have a reputation and be known for my ability to do mergers and acquisitions, to really be able to look at a workforce and decide what makes sense going forward. What does future look like? What does good look like? What are our big, bodacious, hairy, horrible business strategies that we need to address, and how are we going to address them from a people perspective? And So really grew my lens in that area, which then moved me into a lot of different roles, all kind of weirdly defined. Titles were weird. Things were weird. And I ended my corporate career before I moved over here as a part owner with Limerick Connects with a tech company, actually. I left the insurance industry, and I think it was probably smart that I did leave the insurance industry at the time, because it happened to be around the time when you had a lot of the things that were kind of disrupting the industry in a rather grand way. You had, you know, Hartford had some struggles, AIG, some of the companies that were going through a lot. So I decided I wanted to challenge myself and try a different industry. So I went into the technology industry, which has well equipped me now to help the insurance industry, which Limerick Connects has, we do a lot of work in the insurance industry, although not limited to it. And the reason why I think it has helped me is because a lot of things that happened on that end from the structure of, from things like P&E, companies being bought out by a private equity firm or an investment firm. What does that look? What do they require for you to be able to be successful? What are their expectations of you? So on and so forth. I really was able to hone that on the tech side, which I think insurance is still wrapping their arms around, all of the kind of everyone buying each other out and what do we look like tomorrow and how does that group really come together? So I now get to work with leaders from the perspective of saying, okay, what do you have today and what do you want tomorrow? How do we get their budgets, all that kind of good stuff. Really thinking about that organizational design and effectiveness. And then I get to say, okay, so this is what we need. Let's go find the people. And we partner really closely together to be able to do it. And now I do feel like I get to help people.
That's awesome. Because that's fascinating too.
Yeah, I get to meet them now. I get to meet the candidate. I get to talk to them and I get to talk about what are you trying to accomplish? Is it right. Just a job? Is it a career? Is it what you're looking for? And I also get to talk about, sometimes, you know, we get deep into these conversations about what's holding you back. You know, and it's interesting to really hear today, because I've talked to all different generations, all different things, you know, what is holding people back? And, you know, a lot of it is just, I don't know how to proceed. I don't know what I want to proceed with. Sometimes it's instead of, I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up. Sometimes, to be honest with you, at least I go through this, I don't want to grow up. you know, hence the Legos. I also do Legos. So, you know, there's a little bit of all of that that's wrapped into it. And I think people today are more complex than ever, you know. And some of that's because we understand what makes a person more. Mm-hmm. But with that understanding has caused some confusion, too. And so there's a desire from some people that are like, hey, we'll just go back to being simple. You're just a person, you know. And of course you are. But now people are really complex and have multi-layers. And as you know, if you've ever experienced this, the worst thing that can ever happen to a person is to have to work next to someone that is not a good person.
You know? This is true.
And the worst thing to happen to a company is having someone like that in their organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my goal is to hopefully match it as best as possible. Not everyone's a match everywhere. I've not always been a match for people. Not everybody loves Malaika, even though I tell people to say my name, you say Malaika, Malaika. not everyone Malaika, Malaika. And you know what? It makes me sad when people don't like me, but I hope I've never done anything to purposely hurt someone. At least that's been a real big focus of my life the last, I would say, well, it's always been a focus, but I think the last 5 years I've really focused on how can I be a better person, because I was not perfect. And I also have focused on how do I raise better kids to be better people, because I had an experience yesterday where a little girl sat down next to me and stuck her tongue out at me. And I was just kind of like, wow, I would never allow my kids, right, to behave in such a manner of just walking up to an adult and sticking their tongue out of them. And, you know, there's a lot of different responses that could have come from that, right? Mm-hmm. My response to her was, how are you doing today? Mm. And her eyes went this big. And she just said, she goes, I'm really tired. I'm like, I'm sorry, sweetie. Do you want to rest your head? And she did, you know, but again, her behavior showed.
Right.
Right. But what were her true intentions? Her intentions were, I don't know why I'm here. I'm in 90 degree heat in Pennsylvania, which we're not born for that. And so, you know, it's like, she was just tired.
Yeah.
So it was another reminder for me of the reason why I'm on this journey that I'm on right now is because I'm trying to understand people have behaviors that you see, but what are people's true intentions, which you don't see?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always trying to figure out people's intentions. That's what I enjoy doing. And you really have to understand that in order to help someone find the right career and kind of opportunities that they're looking for. And because that intention can change a lot with behaviors.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think you have to look deeper than just how someone acts. Like now, there are times when people are just being not nice, but for the most part, and especially with younger people, children, when they act out like that, it's because they're not sure how to articulate what they're really feeling or what they're going through or whatever. So you're just like that little girl. But
yeah, and I think there are a lot of adults right now.
Mm-hmm.
In today's society, there's a lot going on in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us are struggling with how do we communicate that?
Mm.
You know, how do we communicate how I'm feeling today? You know, it's like, I'll be honest with you, I'm one of those people who I cry whenever I see a video of a veteran coming home,
mm-hmm.
or a military person coming home. That stuff touches my heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I tend to be a little bit sensitive, or I guess you call me emotional, because I really connect in that way. We are getting away. Not a lot of people do that like that anymore. You know, I know I've been labeled a lot of times as emotional because I show that, you know, or I may have been considered a certain way because of it. And I think understand what's behind that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cry every time because I have this unbelievable belief that life is just that important.
It is.
And I love my family so much and I don't live near them. So every time I see one of those videos, it reminds me that I'm not next door anymore to my family too.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's going to be okay. Cause we're going to have a moment like that. Right. So there's joy in there too. So, I mean, it's like, again, it's a simple behavior of I cry when I see these beautiful videos, but the intention behind it is it really hits me hard because I love my family like no tomorrow. And I mm-hmm. understand what it's like when they're not there.
Right.
You know,
I get it.
So just try to reach people on a different level.
Right.
That's what I try.
And that's very important with your job is to be able to read people and to get to the root of what they need and to help them articulate what they need, because that helps you do your job much better.
And I think the key thing, if you are thinking about your career and making changes. So for me, a year and a half ago, I made a huge change. I went from corporate to co-owning a business. And, you know, it's not as stable. You don't have some of the reinsurances that you used to have with the, you know, you get a check every, blah, 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 blah. You got to go and you got to hunt and work for your own and do a lot of different things and build a partnership and do all these things. And that was really scary for me to make that transition. And, you know, I think before I could fully make that transition, I had to heal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is when you, I was laid off, and, you know, I think when you go through a layoff, it's, you know, everybody says it's not personal. It's my life.
It's a little personal.
It is personal. It's how I feed my family. It's how I, you know, am able to do all the things I need to be able to do, especially in this economy. And so, it, you know, as much as I'd love to say it, I'd love, you know, that line I think is always interesting because I think it is personal. Mm-hmm. And I meet with a lot of candidates that were like me who felt it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you, what I say to all people who are making a transition, if there's anyone that watches this video that is making a transition in life, heal first. Take a moment to allow whatever happened to have that moment to acknowledge it, have that moment to figure out how you move forward with it, and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will tell you, the worst thing you can do is go take another job without healing and hope that it will be different.
Right.
And because I see that fail a lot. And a lot of times the new manager may not understand that's what you're going through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And may not be equipped to actually help you. So it's better for you and healthier for you as you take that moment, pause, breathe. You know, Penelope's been teaching me a little bit about meditation. I'm not there yet. I still think too much. Somebody told me the other day what I was. I'm like when I meditate, my brain, this is my brain. I've planned like 65 things by the time a minute meditation's over. So I'm not good at that. So I choose some other things. That's why I quilt and that kind of thing. Because if you sit me in front of a sewing machine, there's something about that that is mm-hmm. my meditation. So find your meditation, whatever it is.
Right.
And have that moment, release, finalize your feelings around it so that you can kind of close that box. I understand you can't tape it and close it up physically. But try to close that journey for yourself so that you can really move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to hiring managers, if you had a bad experience with an employee recently, you need to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's so, in a nutshell, those are the things I'm learning through what I do from a perspective and what I've done for myself is really just, I'm just learning to continuously improve the version of me I'm at.
I get that. So let me ask you, have you ever made a decision or done something in your career, messed up, and thought, oh, holy crap, that's it, I'm done, and I have to start over, I'm going to be fired, whatever. But you learned a valuable lesson that helped you later in your career or you were able to help someone else with?
I've had lots of... I have had so many opportunities to learn from my actions.
Myself.
Actually, one of the things I'm working on is not having so much regret. Because it will drag you down a little bit. I'm still worried about something I said to someone in the second grade some days. You know? And so you gotta balance that, right? So I try to be, the beginning of my answer is don't live in regret.
Right.
But if there's anything that I do regret, it's not speaking up.
Get that.
When I first started in HR, I saw some things that I didn't agree with,
mm-hmm.
and I now know how.
Right.
To articulate what's taking place in a good manner
mm-hmm.
and be able to do it. So first I didn't speak up. I just grumble in my corner, right? And then it manifested in me as negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And then it manifest out as Malika's negative, right? that shaped me. So from there on out, people will tell you, or at least people have told me, that they appreciate me during those tough discussions. And it's mainly because that's how I was, when I'm laying people off, which unfortunately I've done a lot of,
mm-hmm.
Because I did a lot of acquisitions, a lot of mergers.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of that, you know, lots of layoffs that I've had to do. I just come with a lot of compassion, and I'm not gonna smoke screen it. I'm gonna be very honest with you. I'm gonna follow up with you. I'm gonna make sure everything's okay. and do the best that I can do. And over the years, I've gotten better and better and better at that. And so, you know, I just think people deserve respect. And so many times, at least I've seen HR people walk into some of these discussions and it's devoid of emotion. And I think that's when we make a mistake.
Right. I agree with you on that. And I'm sorry you had to go through that. But I have a feeling, I mean, none of that was your fault at all, of course. But I think that would have probably happened at some point regardless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And but I did learn to speak up. I will be honest with you. My first couple times out the gate weren't very good.
But that's okay. But see, my thing on stuff like that is, you know, bad things happen to everybody. But if you learn from them and you learn how to turn that into a positive somehow, even down the road or for someone else, then while it's sad and while it still weighs on you some, the fact that you learned from it is huge. Yeah. And it's the regret would be in not. Yeah. You know, that's where the regret would be, is if you didn't learn from it and you didn't speak up and you just let it go, you know? Absolutely. So I think that's amazing. So, okay, so who was or is the most influential person in your life and or career, and why?
My parents. Period, in a sentence. No doubt about it. My parents taught me how to be a good partner to my husband. My parents taught me how to be a good sister. My parents taught me how to be a good mother. They taught me to want more. They taught me to go for anything that I want. No, there are no limits.
That's awesome.
My father is, he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He's really, really awesome. He's a tough dad.
That's okay. We need a lot of those.
You know, and when I was younger, I didn't value it as much as I do today. Mm-hmm. But I am so glad that he always taught me to be clear, direct, and honest. We have a joke in our family that sometimes we borderline rude, abrupt, and abrasive. But but we try... We really do try to stay in the, clear, direct, and honest kind of category of things. That's how we live. And so that was kind of how I was built. It took me a long time to stop looking for their approval. And because I was looking for it in a very negative way, because I wanted to just, they're really outstanding people on their own. I just wanted to measure up, you know?
Right.
And I remember when I graduated with my MBA, I was like, finally, I have a graduate degree. And I, you know, I can at least, you know, because education is very important in my family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I finally felt like, you know, kind of this thing. But then it was, no, I want to excel at my career. No, I want to, you know, and those are the values they put into me. And they supported me through every single minute, every relocation, everything, every conversation, every home I bought, everything. My parents have been there for me. And I hope my girls feel the same way about my husband and I as parents, as we have raised them, because it is, you don't want to be alone in this world. It's important to have those supports, those unconditional people that love you no matter what in your life is really, really important. And I am so lucky
that I have extremely
sister,
blessed.
A mom, a dad, a husband, and two kids that, now let me be real a minute. My kids can get into it. And my husband, hey, I love him.
I get it.
You know, and there's a lot of times I got to love him through it. But, yep. You know, nobody's perfect, but we love each other for our imperfections too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, as I get in, as I've gotten older, especially now, I've realized, you know, sometimes you just gotta love people where they are.
You really do. You really do. That's what unconditional love is. You just love them where they are, help them when they need help. Sometimes you gotta let them fall, and be there when they go to stand back up, and not be "I told you so." Just love them. You kind of touched on this earlier. So what advice would you give to the women listening that want to move forward in their careers, no matter what the industry?
Don't give up. And if you need a friend, call me. It's going to be okay. I think that's the easiest thing I can say. And the reason why I say that way is because this is the hardest time right now that I've seen in my lifetime.
It is.
Especially for women. And I say don't give up. I say keep going, because I think that over the next couple of years, women are really going to have to think about how we continue to grow in workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the insurance industry, you know, I talked to you about some of the numbers. It's like 60% of the kind of mid to entry level positions are female. Mm-hmm. But then when you flip it to the other side, and you look at how many are in either a board position and an executive position, it's like 18%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in insurance and you are a woman, the numbers at this point aren't where we want them to be. So we have got to figure out, in insurance, in particular as an industry, how do we bring more women up? So let's start at the beginning, okay? Are you currently a female in insurance? If yes, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
What have you done to rise up and help another female in the industry, right?
Right.
What connections have you made to help bring all of that up?
Right.
Are you a female manager in insurance? Okay. Look at your team. Is it diverse? Have you hired females?
Right.
You know, who are you also helping to bring up? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, it's just got to happen at every level.
Right.
The females, the 18% that are in executive positions, are you talking to us? Get out. Talk to us about how we get to where we are. Give us some advice.
Mm-hmm.
Let us learn from the roads that you have traveled. I was so lucky when I was at when I was at Penn Mutual. I worked for my first female CEO, Eileen. And it was so fascinating to have conversations with her about her experience, which I don't want to share any of her personal information, but
right.
I'll just share this. When a man has to go to all these award shows, they just throw on the same tux and they wear the same one and it goes to dry cleaner, comes back and whatever. A female in a CEO position has got to go to all these events. She's got to buy dresses. She's got to do all that stuff. It's almost twice as much work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an expectation there that you can't move away from. And I know that sounds like a very simple thing and you're probably like, who cares about that, Malaika? It's the small things that add up for women.
It really
that
is.
Make it sometimes difficult. So how do you get through that? What are some of the strategies that you could put together around that? Or you don't golf and all the guys do. What do you do? Well, I became the best golf cart driver in the United States. I've got a badge to prove it.
Oh, that's funny.
Right? So get help,
mm-hmm.
get around it, and figure out what it is. And if you are one of the women sitting in your chair right now that used to be like me about, say, well, to be honest with you, probably about until about 2-3 years ago, who almost had made the decision that they didn't want to report to women anymore.
Right.
Because of my experiences, challenge yourself. Why is that? What needs to be different? What are you looking for? Right? And if you are a female leader, you need to ask yourself, are you helping the women on your team? Are you treating them the same? You know, and again, remember I said same, not different, same. Mm-hmm. You should be trying to help everybody, right? But sometimes we don't. Sometimes women, for women in insurance, don't help each other. And that's what I've seen in the industry, quite honestly, is I think we could do more. Now, I could also share a bunch of success stories where I've seen women help women. But I will also say that I don't see it as much as I used to.
It's good advice. It's good advice. All right, so we're going to switch over a little bit. I've got some fun questions. Just real quick, off the top of your head, whatever comes to mind. All right, what's the best compliment you've ever received?
You helped me.
Excellent. If you could have any animal in the world, what would it be and why?
It would be a dog, and it's because I really love dogs. I just always have. I love how they're in packs. I love how they have a leader. Coming from families with matriarchs and patriarchs, I understand that. I think that dogs are smart as can be. My golden retriever figured out I was pregnant before anyone else did. I think that... I have a nervous tendency to shake my leg, and my dog picked it up, and whenever I would shake my leg, he would come over and put his head on my leg to get me to stop shaking. And he's not trained to do that. They're just smart.
Right.
And they know what you may need.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that unconditional love. And so I
love dogs too.
I mean, dogs are really able to give freely. You come downstairs and my dog's tail's going, blah, 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 and I'm just like sitting there going, I don't know why you're happy, but I feel it. You know,
so, I love it. So, okay, what is your biggest pet peeve?
When people expect you to trust them just because they breathe.
Love it.
I believe trust is earned.
Very much so. Very much so. And if you could instantly learn any language in the world, what would it be?
Japanese.
Really? Why is that?
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I took a semester of it and was unsuccessful.
That's funny. At this point, I know that you guys just got started pretty much with Limerie Connects. It's still in its infancy stages, so to speak, getting off the ground and doing very well, by the way. But what do you see the next leg of your journey? Where do you see it going, either career-wise or personally?
I am currently thinking about how I want to... I'm at an age now where I'm starting to think about what I want my legacy a bit to look like.
Mm-hmm.
and what are the things important to me. And I've definitely decided that I enjoy volunteering, I enjoy doing my fiber art stuff, and I enjoy doing all that. And so I am currently considering and looking at evolving all of my love into a certain way. And my dream is to own this really big barn where I can have people come for retreats, quilters, whatever, do whatever you want. But I also want to have retreats for women.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want a safe space where women can go and sit together and have really good conversations and build those support systems I was talking about. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've experienced this, but I do talk to a lot of women that are like over 40. It's, to be honest with you, it's not even an age thing. It's hard to make friends.
It is, because everybody's got their face in their phone.
And so, exactly. And so it's like, where's a space where you could come together, meet good people, get that energy and kind of fill your bucket a little bit and fill others' buckets. And so I'd love to create a space and community for that to happen.
I think that's awesome. I have had, a couple of paint parties at my home outside with women from my church. And it has been wonderful. And it's, nobody thought they could do it. And I'm like, Mm-hmm. What you don't understand is it's paint. You can paint over it. And it doesn't matter. You can use a hair dryer. You can use Q-tips. You can grab some leaves off the ground. Or you can use a paintbrush. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's art. And it's just about being there and creating and having fun. And it ends up being an amazing time every time.
It is.
And so I love that idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've ended some of our paint parties on the floor laughing.
Yes.
You know, and it's not because of what we're sipping. I mean, literally.
No. I mean, we're not.
We just like, you know, let's just have fun.
It is. It's fun. And to sit outside under the oak trees, because I have a side yard that's got four beautiful oak trees, almost like in a perfect square. And the breeze blows the whole time. And, you know, the dogs are around. We put the chickens up because they would really help. But it is, it's an amazing time. And I've had several friends over separate to just come over and do that. There's something very healing about being outside and doing something like that and just connecting and bonding on a different level. And yeah. I think you tend to, like what you're saying and talking about doing it, that would be extraordinary, because when you do stuff like that, not only do you connect with other people, but on a level you connect with yourself and what you really like, and what you kind of figure something out about yourself that maybe you don't realize until later. So I think that's great. You do that. Invite me, because I want to come.
I will. Penelope will tell you, I've been brewing this for a long, long time.
And I think you should just jump on it and go.
Yeah, and I think I'm at a point now where I'm, you know, it was hard because I was traveling 80% of the time in my corporate job, or 60%. It seemed like every day I was traveling. But, you know, it's nice now that I'm home more, or in one location more, and I can actually think about doing something like that. And again, you know, I keep saying this, if you can ever have a partner at work like I do, you're the luckiest girl in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I'm lucky because I get to go to work every day with one of my best friends for over 20 years, you know, and I get to go to work every day with someone who looks at me and goes, we're opposite. And right now you're crazy. You know, and it's okay. You know, right. It's okay. It's like, I'll sit there and I'm like, I accept you're crazy. and you know, it's like, so it's, I think, again, being able to have those female relationships, ride or dies, standing next to you. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not that, even it's just, I know if I have I could call.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Those relationships are really invaluable. And I feel, and I don't have any like statistical proof of this, by the way, I'm very analytical, so I usually do have numbers, but I feel like we've lost each other a lot in the world. And I don't feel like we know each other like we used to. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm lucky because I live in a neighborhood where we take care of each other around here. You know, I listen to some of my friends and I hear about their neighborhood nightmares, or you see it on TikTok, you know, neighborhood mm-hmm. nightmares or whatever. And you're just like, what is going on in the world? You know, so, you know, all I have to say is my goal later in life is just create more kindness.
Yeah.
You gotta be kinder. And I can be kinder. And I'm going to learn to be.
We all can. So as we come to a close, is there any final advice for Marks? Anything you'd like to say to anyone listening out there? What the main takeaway for today would be?
I think the main takeaway to everyone right now, or what I'd just like to say to people right now, is it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow might not be the best day. Today might not be the best day, but I promise it's coming. And all you have to do is believe, and you're going to be okay. And it, if you really are struggling, I'm not kidding, call me. Just, you know, nobody deserves to be in this world alone right now. It is too hard. So. Mm-hmm. Open yourself up, lean in. If it's discomfort for you, to lean into the discomfort of reaching out, reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And just know nobody's here by themselves.
That's right.
Don't be by yourself.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Well, Malaika, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with me today. And I have enjoyed this so much.
Me too. Thank you, guys, and thanks for everything.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Connecting Women in Insurance. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. See you next time.